Grace and peace be unto you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good to be back with you again, particularly this time of year as we celebrate this message the week following Easter. Easter itself is something that we've known about as a church for 2,000 years and all through the season of Lent. We knew what was coming, but at the same point, just 2 weeks ago, as we gathered together in churches by the hundreds of millions, over a billion around the world, celebrating the Easter message, the promise of God, the deliverance of the resurrection, and the promises to all of us. But it's in these weeks that follow Easter, we begin to look at what the initial reaction was to that Easter message for those early followers of Christ. Now the women had gone to the tomb, and they had gone and told the men. And the men had said to the women, the Greek word is delirious, that they simply didn't know what they were talking about. Men always listen to women, right? But then we hear about the road to Emmaus. That's another story that's here in this 24th chapter of Luke. And in that story, we hear about this one couple, Cleophas and his companion. How many of you remember the story of Road to Emmaus? All three of you. Okay. Well, that's your homework for tonight. 24th chapter of Luke. But it's a story about right after the crucifixion, this one couple is so sad that they take off. And they go to this place called Emmaus. It could have been their hometown. It could have been a place of retreat. But we are told that they were filled with despair. And it is on their journey, looking down, and suddenly a messenger of God is beside them. Lo and behold, we come to find out it was Jesus. You know, this is a pattern that happens time and time again in the scriptures. Is that indeed God's messengers will come and walk beside us. It happened to Abraham and Sarah. But the angels had come and talked to him and said, behold, we're going to have a child. It happened to Moses. And he was called to free the people of God. It happened to the prophets. It happened to Zechariah when he was told he was going to have a son who would become John the Baptist. He didn't believe it. It happened to Mary when she was told she would have a child. It happened to the shepherds when there was the proclamation, the message that a Savior was born. And it happens here in Emmaus. And at first, the people, this couple, are struggling with the news because this messenger was sharing with them portions of Scripture. The promises that have been given to them by God time and time again. As we heard in the children's sermon, we are all children of God. And as a result, God has made promises to us. Yet we forget that sometimes. That neither height nor depth, or anything in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God. And as this stranger is talking to them, they begin to have hope again. They come out of their despair and the possibilities open, and they are so encouraged that they reach the fork in the road and they turn to the man and they say, will you please join us for dinner? And he accepts. So they go to the inn to have their dinner. And that's a real interesting thing because as they gather for the dinner, the guest becomes the host. Because we hear Jesus takes the bread, he gives thanks, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And in this powerful sacramental moment, they realize that this person who's been with them all along has been Jesus. The real presence of Christ has been revealed. You know, it's in the Gospel of Luke that we hear those four verbs time and time again. To take, to bless, to break, and to give. I call it the Holy Signature. We hear about it when Jesus feeds the 5,000. He takes the bread, the fish, blesses, breaks, and gives. It happened at the Lord's Supper, of course. We hear that Sunday after Sunday as Eucharist is celebrated, and it happened in the story of Emmaus. And even in the reading today, Jesus shares a meal with them. It's in the context of gathering together with the people of God that the real presence of Christ is made known. It's been my joy to walk alongside of this congregation for the past 2 years. After serving some 35 years in ministry, primarily a senior pastor of large churches, I decided to go into a different phase in ministry to give churches a helping hand in transition. Over the past 20 years, I have been coordinator of large church ministries for the ELCA. There are some 300 churches that fall in this category. This church is obviously one of them. In fact, in the entire ELCA size-wise, you're in the top 1%. What I've noticed, though, is that some churches lose their way. They lose their focus, and particularly transitions are hard. Sometimes when there's a pastor there for a long term and a new pastor comes, it's a real shift. It's hard for churches. And I saw a church like Lansing, once the largest church in the state vicinity, is now, well, got to be about rocket size. It's on the road to recovery, but it really got set back. But that's not happening at this church. Because I see that this is a church that continues to struggle to look for where God is calling. And I commend you on that journey. There's a health, a vitality, and I understand your last Christmas was a 15, 18% bump over the previous year. There's something going on here. I believe it's the Spirit. It's dedicated people that make a difference. You're also blessed with mission-minded pastors. I know Pastor Jennifer and Pastor Jack are mission-oriented pastors. Early on in my ministry, I was a mission developer. I remember the head of missions, Mac Minnick, saying, "You're the special forces of the church. You're sent out to make a difference in the kingdom." And that's helped this church. But what really helps is being a congregation that continues to listen to the promises of God and Father. At this time, this church is entering into a time of exploring new possibilities. I have met with your council, leadership planning team, with your staff, with your property, with your finance, and they've come up with a proposal with unanimity, unanimously supported, that they now want to share with the congregations. In the next few weeks, next couple of months, there'll be many meetings. There's a play tonight, right? Still room? Okay. Raise your hand, stand up, so they know to get you afterwards. Okay. And this will be an opportunity to boldly go where no church has gone before. And other possibilities. Open your hearts. Be like the disciples in that upper room or the people on the road to Damascus to new possibilities. Pray about it. Don't be reactive. Where is God calling this congregation to go? Where is God asking for you to do in response? I know in my own faith journey there was an important time in reading the scripture and prayer. My wife and I sat down and decided to start tithing. You've heard of the Left Behind series? Anybody hear of the Left Behind series? That was my style of giving. I'd go out Saturday night, have a good time, and then I'd see what was left behind on Sunday morning, and that's what I gave to the church. And yet, once we started tithing, a new discipline, a discipleship entered into our life, and I found that by giving more away, I had more to spend and live with, because I learned that discipline, that's where the word discipleship comes from, in a new and exciting way. And our lives became more enriched. I'll tell you this. If every member of this church were to tithe for just 1 year, you would accomplish miracles. Pray. Because God treats us just like he did the sacred elements of the Eucharist. You see, God takes us, welcomes us as a body of Christ. God blesses us, and that blessing we find in baptism. It is in baptism that we find forgiveness, that our sins are washed away. It is in baptism that we become members of the family of God and a commitment to one another to do what God calls us as a congregation. And it is in baptism that we are called to discipleship, to be witnesses. That's what Jesus says at the conclusion of the verse today, is that as a result of understanding what the resurrection is, we are to be witnesses to the world. And when Jesus breaks us, he breaks us of those things that hold us back from accomplishing what we can do as a Christian, as a church. And he gives us back to the world to be a bright shining light, so that a world filled with darkness may know that our Redeemer lives. Our Savior is there for us for all time. This is the light of Christ. Let it shine. Let it shine.